The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We'll stick with Irish politics, though, for the moment. Helen McEntee is with me, the Minister for Education and Youth. Minister, you're welcome to the show.
Hi, Kieran.
What's your sense of how the presidential election is going?
I mean, look, I think like a lot of elections, it's usually the last few weeks, really, where people start to focus and people really start to pay attention. And I think this is no different. We've had plenty of chops and changes along the way, starting over the summer, even within our own party, and obviously Mairead McGuinness and the changes that happened there. But I mean, look, from my point of view, I'm very clear who I want representing me in the Oras. And I think in 2 weeks' time, people themselves will have an opportunity to make that decision. And I think we have to think about a number of things. Who do we want representing us? Not just at home, not just in terms of our views and our fears and our concerns and articulating that in the way the president should, but who do we want representing us on the world stage? And I mean, we are living in such a volatile world. We are living in a world with so much going on around us, so many challenges. And for me, it is unthinkable that we would have somebody like Catherine Connolly as president who is in any way ambiguous about Russia. I think it is unthinkable that we would have a president that would in any way be volatile towards our European countries when it comes to that issue, countries who are at the moment, quite frankly, scared of what's happening right next to them in Russia. I think to have a president who is in any way ambiguous about our relationship with the US, this isn't about one man, it's about a relationship that's gone back for generations. And I think in particular as a woman, the idea, and I've listened to your show and I listened to the interview yesterday, the idea that we would have somebody who is in any way equivocal about whether or not somebody who's a convicted rapist should be working in the highest office of the land. Really, I would question that, because let's be clear here, gender-based violence and violence against women is the single greatest barrier when it comes to equality. So I know who I want to represent me.
She has since said that if someone's on the sex offenders register, she wouldn't
hire them. Do you know, sorry, the fact that she even had to clarify that, I'm really clear who I want representing me, and it's not somebody who would be in any way ambiguous when asked a question like that, when it is, as I've said, the single greatest barrier to equality right across the world.
She thinks you're afraid of her, and which is why whenever people who are supportive of Heather Humphreys are asked about the presidential campaign, they don't talk about Heather Humphreys, they have a go at Catherine Connolly, which is what you just did.
Well, let me talk about Heather, because Heather's somebody who doesn't walk away from anything, and certainly she's not anybody that's scared of a campaign, nor is Fine Gael as a party. I want somebody like Heather because I know exactly who she is. I know what she represents. She not just represents the community that she's from, but the many, many communities, whether it's rural or urban, right across this country. She's somebody who's shown that she can make tough decisions, that she has the wealth of experience, but also she's somebody that knows how to represent Ireland on the world stage. And again, at a time when we are living in such volatility, we need somebody who knows what it is to have friends, who knows what it is to represent Ireland, who knows what it is to use our voice for good. And that's something that Heather has done in the many roles that she's played, not just at a national level, but at a local level as well.
Yeah, Catherine Connolly was with us yesterday for the first of, well, it was meant to be three profile interviews, but we've talked enough about that. It's going to be the first of two. Heather Humphreys will be with us before polling day as well to sit down and have a chat about a whole host of different things. But if we stick with your own bailiwick for a moment, can you remind us, I mean, the headline figures that were announced on Tuesday with regard to the budget and the Department of Education?
So look, this is a budget of 13.1 billion euro for education. I've been really clear from the very outset in the areas that I want to prioritise and that I feel we need to. It's greater investment in special education. We've done a lot in the last few years, but there's so much more we need to do. And that's a very clear message from parents, from children and from teachers and from schools as well. The budget itself, it invests in SNAs, special education teachers. It allows me next year to start putting special education or speech and language therapists and occupational therapists in our schools, supporting the work of our SNAs, our teachers and our special education teachers. There's a great focus on disadvantage. So how do we make sure the children who are most at risk of disadvantage, perhaps because of their family background, where they're from, how do we lift them out of those challenges? So there's more money for our DESH programme, which to date is supporting about 260,000 children. But what's really important for me is that I now have funding to improve and to elevate that plan to a DESH Plus plan. So that's really focusing in on children who need our help the most. I've heard really clearly from schools they need more money, they need more support when it comes to the day-to-day running. So I've had a huge increase in this year's budget for primary schools, for post-primary, again, focusing on schools who are most disadvantaged, but importantly as well in our special schools. We have a situation where when a child turns 12, they don't get the higher rate of funding that other children would if they're 12 plus. So I'm now bridging that gap, making sure that special schools get the funding they need. So I've always been clear, I want to invest in special education. I want to make sure every single child has an opportunity. I'm also clear this is the first budget of five. So I know that there's, you know, organisations and people saying we haven't done enough, there's other things we wanted to do. I will have four more budgets, I hope, to be able to do much, much more. But this is just the start.
What's your priority then across the span of those budgets?
Well, I think I've just outlined the two key ones there. It's how do we, I mean, children have to be at the centre. It's about making sure the teachers have the resources, that we have the teachers, that we're investing in the schools. But how are we actually supporting children? And for children with additional needs, it's making sure that for every child, because for one child, it might be attending mainstream, it might be in a special class, it might be in a special school. How do I make sure that every child has the opportunity to be in school in a setting and a way that's appropriate for them with the supports that's appropriate for them? And that's why so much of the funding has gone towards that, in particular for children from disadvantaged backgrounds. I visited a lot of schools, not just as minister, but in my role as a TD. And when you see certain children who come into school, they haven't had a meal, they perhaps don't have the stable background at home, they don't have that same level of support as others do. How do we support schools to give them that support and that nurturing and that environment that keeps them in school, that helps them progress and that helps them look to a future that's really positive and that's something that they can achieve?
And what then do you say to some of the pushback that is focused on the level of funding, and it said that the additional funding maybe deals with some of the inflationary pressures that schools have had to deal with like everybody else in the last couple of years, but they were starting at a disadvantage. You know what I mean? That there was already a gap they felt to be bridged, and that gap hasn't been bridged.
Absolutely, and I accept that. But I would also say that we've increased our funding by 50% in the last few years. So I'm not saying we're stopping here now. I want to do more next year. I want to do more the year after that. But importantly, and something that I've started in the department now and asked my team to do, is we need to understand what are the real costs. So we can think about it, heating, lighting, you know, water charges, insurance and all these other costs. Firstly, how do we bring them down? How do we make sure that schools have solar panels so that they're not actually just saving money, that they're getting money back through paying into the grid? How do we reduce other costs? How do we identify hidden costs as well in schools, of which there are many? So I have a body of work happening at the moment looking at what are the costs and how do we make sure we're actually covering all these costs for schools. So there's different things that we can do. It's not just about giving money over. That's really important. There's also a capital budget there of €7.5 billion. So there'll be a lot of money spent in the next number of years, not just on the buildings, but on ICT equipment. So important now. I've just come from a conference in Cavan where we were listening to young people about the future of education. And one thing that they said is technology, AI, investing in the changing world around us is absolutely key. So my budget will now allow for an annual ICT grant investing in that type of technology. So there's lots of things we're doing. Again, appreciate there's lots more that we need to do and I need to do.
All of those additional posts, then, be the SNAs or teaching posts, to what extent can they be filled by the flow of people out through the system at the moment? Or do we need to attract people back from overseas or even attract, you know, new Irish from overseas, as it were?
I think it's a mixture of both. And look, you will always have people who leave to travel, to do new things, to experience other countries. And that's no different when it comes to teachers. And obviously, you know, we all know teachers who've maybe travelled to Dubai or gone to Australia or other places. But what you see is young people coming back. And I've seen that and I've experienced that. I was in Australia this year as part of my St. Patrick's Day trip. And I'd say of the students that I met out there, half of them were coming home probably in the next couple of months. So you see that steady flow. That's not to say we don't need more. Where we will see an increase in the coming years is in post-primary. So we are peaking in terms of our numbers for primary school teachers and primary school students. Where we're starting to see the peak now is in post-primary. And I get that. That's where the pressure is now for particular subjects, for certain areas where schools are finding it hard to get teachers. We need to focus more on that. So there's a couple of things since I've come into the department. Firstly, offering greater ways in which teachers can upskill in other subjects. So you're a teacher, you have two subjects. Is there a third subject you could upskill in that you can provide in the school? And those science subjects, languages, computer technologies, they're the type of areas that we're providing support for teachers to be able to upskill, acknowledging that there's a gap. But also one of the things that's been made clear to me is that there are teachers who have significant qualifications. They've qualified abroad in other countries. They're finding it hard to have those qualifications recognised here. So I'm working to try and make it easier for them, not to lower any standard or any other element of that, but to make sure that they can actually be recognised because they're here and they want to teach in our schools.
Slane is in your constituency. Are you a Luke Combs fan?
I'm afraid I'm not, but look.
Did you know who he was?
I won't answer that question.
I think you did.
But I do live 2 or 3 minutes from Slane. I've been going since I was about 12, so I'm hoping to make it next year for sure.
You'll have to get your Stetson out then and start practicing the country music. Minister for Education and Youth, Helen McEntee. Minister, thanks a million for joining
Thank
us.
You.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.